This ESPN Chicago podcast is brought to you by Cover 5, the free-to-play sports game. This week, Cover 5 is giving you a shot at $50,000. How? Download the Cover 5 app or go to cover5.com. Pick five games against the spread, and in week five, if you make the perfect five picks, you win $50,000. Cover5.com.
Thanks to Courtney Cronin and Connor McKnight for joining us today. And thanks for listening, calling, and participating in today's show. Good work by Jarrett Strauss and Tyler Rocky. Waddle and Sylvie are next. And it's time to crosstalk. Meller is in for Sylvie today. Back to the normal schedule tomorrow. Day baseball at 3:10.
Oh, thank gosh. And it's going to be over.
Game 162. Beautiful day for it, at least. Nice day for it.
Well, there's a bonus.
Season finale?
Nope.
So why don't you wrap up the season with plopping your butt down in one of the chairs?
After the Wednesday game 2 weeks ago was the last night. I was there Thursday doing that thing with Ozzy. We watched a little bit. They got swept by the Guardians, and I was done. That's it. I have not watched a single pitch since. I listened a little bit to Len and DJ last night.
I feel bad.
I haven't watched a single pitch.
Yeah. Do you want to play a little game? How many people will be at the ballpark today?
13,000.
No way.
13,000? 13,000. It's a beautiful day.
I don't know if your
kids are in school, right? Or is the kids in school time? But who's going out there today to watch the last game of this?
Okay, do you think there's going to be less than 13,000 announced?
No.
I doubt it.
No.
Sit down and count all of them if you think that there's going to be 13,000.
Wait. In the stands versus what's announced is a different game.
Okay, that's fine. Tickets sold. I'm saying how many people in the building.
No, I think their season ticket base is like 21,000.
Yeah.
So they always announce at least 21,000. You'll never get actual, but I mean, you'll be able to tell.
I think it is.
It might be.
I will say that there still will be roughly...
4,000?
I'll say, no, it'll be more.
Well, even it's going to be like the A's game.
I mean, even when they announced 21,000, there's still only about 18 in the joint.
Yeah. Convince me why there will be more than, let's say, 7,000 or 8,000.
I don't know. It's a beautiful day. It's the last game.
Well, everybody's in school, so that's not an issue.
No, that is an issue.
Can they finish above 500?
Yeah. We want to see if they can get to 82 and 80. Yeah,
nobody cares.
Nobody does. Nobody cares.
There's not one. I think the people
maybe
8,000,
maybe 9,000.
White Sox fans care less about the White Sox than they would about the Blackhawks. They got more interest in the Blackhawks than they do the White Sox.
I don't know about that. But.
Well, the Blackhawks haven't been eliminated yet. Wait till they play their first game, then they'll be eliminated.
Lucas Reichel played their first too.
Hey, dude, Reichel,
how many? How many
got sent to the minors?
Reichel got sent to Rockford.
How many preseason games have they played?
That's what I was.
Are they in the regular season yet?
No. Soon. So. You know who? Look, who was the kid, the defenseman they drafted? I watched one game; he looked good.
Mark Messier.
Who's Mark Messier wasn't a defenseman.
Paul Coffey, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, really, at least give me a Paul Coffey.
I'm going to look at their schedule.
Who was the kid? Korchinski? Was that the draft pick? The defenseman?
I have no idea.
He looked good. Really? I thought.
I mean, they drafted somebody.
The one game I thought he played well.
Modern day Cam Barker.
So Reichel they sent down, huh?
Yeah, that's what they surprised me.
But it is surprising.
Duncan Keith.
Why would they send him
down? Let's look up the Blackhawks logo.
I don't know. But this is more time spent on Lucas Reichel than
I'll be honest, we unfortunately we're not going to, especially during football season, we don't have a lot of time to spend watching
the Blackhawks. Yeah,
they've done that to themselves.
Sorry to
say. Pat Boyle will be here for the hockey show on Saturday. He will break everything you need to know, along with the Brian Hanley.
Yep.
So that's where I'm going to get
the Brian Hanley.
The Brian Hanley.
The one and only Brian Hanley.
The Pat Boyle. They'll break it down. Hockey talk.
So what's going on?
Hockey show.
Real quick, yesterday, 24-884 was the announcement.
That was the announcement.
Get out of here.
So that's what I'm saying. There's no chance in hell it's going to be less than
like... announce less than 20. They're not
going to. Scale 1 to 10, how disappointed are you?
10?
Yeah.
I don't know how you can't
be. It's probably not bubbling to the surface at the moment because the entire season was such a disappointment that it kind of waned over the course of time.
Maybe a little, like I've kind of already put it behind me. It's football season. I'll watch the baseball playoffs now. Well,
the Guardians helped you put it behind you.
Yeah.
I think Rick Hahn talked about it the other day, saying that it's one of the most disappointing seasons he can ever remember having as a part of this organization. Like, think about it. Like,
we all feel that way.
Carm, they relegated themselves to, with 10 games left in the regular season, we didn't even have to pay attention.
No, yeah,
when
not
you
one
really
inning.
Drill down and say, my God, this is a team that... You would have thought at least clutching and grabbing against the Twins to the end of the season would come into play.
100%.
By the way, I would argue as well over the last 2 years. And again, they ran away with the division last season, right?
They did.
They played one good half of baseball.
Yes, that
because
that's
the second half of baseball looked a lot like both halves of this season.
I think there were four games above in the second half last year. So in the last
season and a half,
and
I bet they won five or six in a row at the end of the year. Remember when the Tigers had canceled themselves out of the season and they were throwing, you know,
they're
fans
basically
were on the
a 500 team since last July, since July 2021. They're basically a 500 team. A lot of baseball to be a 500.
I still want to know, like Rick steps forward and says, you know, and gives the impression that it's his decision who the manager is going to be. Do we know even now, after all this time, who's going to be, who has the final say with regard to how you're going to rebuild your team and who your manager is going to be?
They don't know. They're not going to tell you. Because Kenny will want to brag that he still has the ultimate authority and the ultimate power.
But what I said yesterday, Carm, is, and I get it. Someone said to me yesterday about on the north side, well, you had Jed and Theo. But Theo was always the guy in front talking, so you knew that the buck stopped with him. On the south side, Rick's the one that always talks, but we don't know if he's playing the Theo role or the Jed role.
I think he's playing the Jed role.
And then when you see that the owner ends up hiring his guy to be the manager, there's two layers behind or above Rick.
There's two layers above Rick.
That don't generally talk, whether it's Kenny Williams and Jerry Reinsdorf.
They never talk, do they? So, I mean, Kenny talked once,
but
I guess.
But we know that they have a lot of say as to what still happens ultimately with the organization, do we not?
Yeah, I think so.
Jeff's going to rebuild the White Sox between now and 2:30. Is what he
Can
promised
he do it?
Me.
I mean, the question is, do I have the funds? What is my allocation?
Well, I'm going to ask you sometime in the show today. I'm going to give you an unlimited budget.
Yes. Oh,
okay. But within reason.
Yes.
And then I'm going to give you the White Sox real budget. And then you're going to have to do both.
Is Aaron Judge on your list?
You know what? And he should be.
Careful.
You don't like guys who hit 62 home runs?
I do. But careful.
AL home run king.
I don't want an Anthony Rendon situation. I don't want an Albert Pujols situation. I don't want, there's a lot of them.
You don't want them situations.
But the benefit, and I know that this is different, and I've always said this, the benefit of being in this town and this city in a big market is it allows you to buy yourself out of self-inflicted wounds. Like the Kansas City Royals can't do it. The Chicago Cubs and the Chicago White Sox should be able to, if they make a mistake, like Jason Hayward, you know, from a contractual standpoint. I'm just saying, you should be able to buy yourself out of those mistakes because you're a big market franchise.
It's a belated would you rather here on a Wednesday, but would you rather the Sox bring Jose Abreu back for $15 or $20 million or break the bank and bring
in Aaron Judge?
Like you know what?
I don't even think you want to bring Jose Abreu back.
I know, but that's my point.
$5 million, what are the options as White Sox fans? Break the bank for Aaron Judge.
Like, figure it out. I don't care. You know what? Stop telling me about Yasmani Grandal having the highest contract in the organization's history. Like we saw how that worked out.
And you know what you should do with the remainder of his is buy him out
they're
and wave goodbye.
Aaron Judge. They didn't sign Machado when he was 5 years younger.
Yeah.
They
had the best offer.
Yeah, sure they did. And look how that could have worked out.
And his brother-in-law.
Would Machado look good in the Sox uniform? Yes.
Have I gotten your anger back up to a higher level than it was earlier today?
They're not signing Aaron Judge. I would describe
you as apathetic when the day began. I want to know if you're angry
right
now.
You know who would look nice, though? Yeah, they're not signing Aaron Judge. No. Trey Turner would work nicely.
Trey Turner would.
He could play second base.
I totally agree.
He could play left field if you need him to.
I'm in. Trey Turner, I'm in 100%.
That would be somebody
who's 32 and if or 30, comma, T-0-O.
He's also 30.
But I would definitely be in on that.
He'd rather have Trey Turner than Aaron Judge?
But I think it's more feasible and reasonable.
Can Aaron Judge also play linebacker and give the Bears a bump on Sunday?
Yes.
I mean, they were showing clips of him playing high school football the other day.
I want to build my D-line. That's how I want to build this team.
So, Johnny, you're Judge as a rush end.
Johnny, tell me this. And I, at times, don't know what I'm looking at when I'm watching offense, so I definitely don't know what I'm looking at when I'm looking at defense. It felt like, and I only saw the first half of the game, it felt like Brian Daboll de-pantsed us with a game plan. Now, I'm just saying that at that point, when you see what they're trying to do and the defense doesn't respond, does it then become...
No, it's incumbent upon everything the Bears were doing. It had nothing to do with what Daboll was doing, but listen...
Johnny, he had to see something that he thought he could take advantage of.
What's a bootleg? Is a bootleg suddenly a new play that I've never seen?
Wait.
Where did the bootleg come from that all of a sudden the bootleg is an undefensible play? Well, it was for Chicago because the guys on the ends of the line of scrimmage are just clueless.
But has that been a problem in previous games?
Well,
so.
I had talked to Carm about how they're hell-bent for election flying all over the place, you know, like Tasmanian devils.
What's the hits principle?
But, well, that's one thing that we have blamed at the beginning of this. We had talked about, well, listen, you're hustling. There's so much intensity. There's no thinking going on. And I always say thinking's a bad thing, but there's no reacting to what's happening in front of you. There's no common sense. There's no football sense. Where, and I explained it to him this way, simply. I've got my assignment. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. The Bears are just running all over the place, just doing it with tunnel vision on. If the quarterback and the center have an exchange problem, I don't continue on with my assignment. The football becomes the issue. At some point, the person with the football becomes the issue. No matter what your assignment is, the football becomes the issue. And I think that's the problem that the Bears are having right now. They're so set on whatever responsibilities that they have that the football being the issue is somehow lost its way with the Chicago Bears defense.
Okay, let me ask you this.
The football's the issue. I don't think Daboll had to do a fantastic job.
Well, but
I think he went there and he said, listen, let's run a bootleg again. And he's like, how stupid is this football team? I think he was shocked at how stupid the Chicago Bears are. And anybody could have called the game against the Bears defense the way they were playing. Nobody's got contained on the outside.
Well,
everybody's crashing all over God's green earth. Why?
Don't assume that all football coaches stick to a common sense approach, a la, as you were saying earlier, Carm, about how guys handle the clock as well.
It's crazy.
I mean,
What could be going on.
I just wonder, have you ever seen?
It's more a Bears problem than it was genius of the New York Giants.
Well, I'm not calling him a genius, but it's like he saw something that he thought from day one, from the first snap of the game, he identified something that he thought that bad Giants team could have success with, and they stayed with it. So then the second question is,
And then Saquon Barkley makes a play where you've got him in the backfield on the third down. He's back there for a 5-yard loss. You missed the tackle.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Saquon jumps into the air like a rabbit and scoots out the other end and gains 15, 16 yards. Nobody's a genius on that play.
Yeah.
That's the tremendous athleticism of Saquon Barkley.
That's why he was drafted where he was drafted. Have
you seen, though, a situation where something happens repeatedly that frequently where our team made no adjustment?
I do agree with you there.
Well, I'm just saying, like, when was the last time you saw a professional team?
How stupid is this team? That's what I'm saying. How stupid is this team? So if I'm Daboll, I'm like, yeah, of course, I'll go back to the well over and over, like was stated by Moose Johnson, until they stop it. Why stop running it?
So why is a professional football team not able to make the necessary technical and strategic adjustments?
Good question. I asked that on Monday.
My defense coordinator. And my individual position coaches, not only on the defensive line, but in the linebackers. The front seven to me has been just horrific. They were horrific in that game. Front seven. I'm taking the secondary, and I'm giving them a pass. That was not a problem for them. The front seven is my problem.
Brisker had some
team.
Problems. I mean,
he's had some problems, Carm, but comparatively speaking.
He had some problems not setting the edge.
Comparatively speaking.
All right.
Well, it depends on whose responsibility is the edge.
He's
well,
one of those guys diving inside. Well, and I mean, in that moment, he's a box player.
This may have been on display.
But, I mean, he's one of those guys flying hell-bent for election, not looking at the football. That's Jaquan Brisker.
Well, that's Eddie Jackson. That's Eddie Jackson.
Well, Eddie had another problem, but Brisker more specifically in that first half and on the second Jones touchdown, go back and watch the play. He's doing all the wrong things that Yurko's talking about where he's just flying with the wash, not watching the football.
Yeah.
That was Jaquan Brisker.
Right. He's one of seven. One of eight at that point.
Well, and if that's the case, what you're going to do as an offensive coordinator is you're going to run a ton of cutbacks because you know guys are going to over-pursue, get out of their lanes, and they're not going to be... They're not going to be disciplined.
In turn, what the New York Giants do to the Chicago Bears when the Bears got a little success early in the running game, right? They put an 8-man in the box, and they took their Will linebacker, and they blitzed the backside beat.
They're going to do that.
So this is your read, and this is your only read. I'm not giving you a two-way read.
Yes.
You no longer have responsibility to the front side.
And that guy stops the cutback and the boot.
You're coming here for the beat. No. Backside B, the outside man on the defensive lineman is going to be the guy that gets his hands on the tackle and he's responsible.
And you saw that happen a bunch too. Yes. Teams are playing them specifically for that.
Yes, of course. 91 for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, Preston,
Preston Smith was standing there waiting for the boot.
This was him. I mean, it's and Twitch can see it. This is him coming off the line of scrimmage. Yeah. He comes off, the all action goes away, and he's like this. And he's just standing there.
Waiting for
doing
this?
Nothing. He did the least amount of work up to this point on this play. He didn't do a damn thing. He just stood there. And when if you don't, you got to clear the boot. So he's sitting there waiting. He comes out. Oh, he's got the ball in his hand. Let me go get myself a free sack. I'm going to go get a free sack. At the end of the year, he's going to have 14 sacks. The easiest one he had. The easiest one he had was the one against the Bears.
Sack lunch.
What did he do?
Was it crab cakes and sack lunches?
Crab cakes in football. Yeah,
he did his job, is what he did.
There was a couple of instances the Giants did the same exact
thing. I'm asking you to do nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, in doing nothing, you're going to be doing something.
Like Paul Rudd in forgetting Sarah Marshall when he's teaching him how to surf. Do nothing. Yeah. No, do less. Get down, do less. Yeah. No, do nothing.
But that's
You're doing too much.
Yes. Do nothing. But that's the point. But I'm saying, Tommy, once I see a bullet, I get trapped. I get ear holed, okay?
Yeah.
And I saw the action. Randall McDaniel backed up. He went to the outside. The center went away. I'm late to see it. Here comes Brian Habib, and he knocks me clear off my feet. Okay? It's incumbent upon me now to recognize the next time Randall does that, alarms, turn inside and see what the hell's going on because you're about to get ear-holed again.
Well, this isn't anything.
Does somebody need to tell me that?
I don't know.
Do I need to be explained that and coach that? Or once I've been ear-holed, do I know, hey,
you said ear-holed,
right? I don't want to get ear-holed again. Yeah. Okay.
Now, I will say,
well, it's like talking about hot stove.
The manner in which they gave up a bunch of yards may have been different against the Giants, but this is nothing new. Everybody they have faced, they have given up a poo ton of rushing yards.
Right. Yes.
Two teams have gone for over 200
yards.
They're
number 32.
Week 5. They're terrible.
32.
I'm afraid.
They run defense.
I'm afraid Alexander Mattison and Dalvin Cook are going to have another one of these games. I got
Darvin
Minnesota on my cover five in here.
Oh, no.
All right? And I've been a proponent of the Chicago Bears being in games and being competitive and being tough. I never thought I wouldn't be able to count on the defense. And in the first 4 weeks, it's the defense I am most disappointed with because I thought they'd be here.
Listen,
the quarterback I knew was a developmental guy.
Yeah.
You're going to have to develop him. Sorry, Tom.
No. I was going to say, like, in even the two games they won, the difference was they took the ball away.
Yeah.
Because the 49ers ran it down their throats.
Yep.
Yes. The Houston Texans moved the football.
Yeah.
The Houston Texans
had a good game against them.
He threw an interception in the red zone from the 7 yard line that Eddie Jackson caught a tipped ball. And then the second interception was on the 27 yard line.
Correct.
Their own 27.
Every running back in the league is looking on the schedule going, when do we play the Bears? When?
So have you changed your prediction on how many wins?
No. No, because
after all of that, now you're going to stick to they're going to be a 9-8 team?
I still have,
you can't be a 9-8 team with all that you described.
I'm still going to have a 9, because what I'm describing to you as problematic is fixable.
When are you going to fix it?
What's describable to this, it should have been fixed before last week, but it wasn't.
Should have been fixed at halftime.
Why isn't it being fixed? It should have been fixed on the sideline.
It should have been fixed on the sideline the first half.
So why
are you confident it's going to be fixed Sunday against the Vikings?
Bad coaching, bad game day coaching, an inability to make adjustments during the game, not being able to communicate with the players one way or another. I don't know what the problems are up there. Okay, I'm just telling you what I know. It should be fixed. I can turn the defense down. I can't turn it up. That's the problem. I can't motivate a player.
So now you just have to turn it down?
I got to turn him down and tell him, okay,
look like you. It looked like you've made that move before.
Too much
intensity.
Looked like that was a
common move.
Back off on the hits principle.
Listen, the hits, you guys are giving me a capital I. I need you to bring it down to a lowercase
I.
With the intensity here, a little too much.
Here's the good thing. They scored 12 points a game on offense, so we could cover up some of the mistakes.
Yeah, man, they're all that we listen to all that ranting, and it's good stuff. And Yurko's been passionate about this all week because he doesn't like what he sees.
But I don't blame him. Competitive.
We haven't even talked about the offense,
right? Well, because I knew the offense was going to struggle.
The
offense
is a train wreck.
I knew the offense was going to be a problem. I knew Justin Fields was going to be a problem. I knew Cole Kmet, which is why I cut him in my dynasty league. I made him available to anybody who wanted him. I knew that he was going to be a problem. Right? I knew all that.
Second best.
I knew those struggles, but I didn't think defensively we'd be a sieve the way we're being a sieve right now.
Well, I don't know what what made you think that they were going, not this bad, but what made you think they were going to be a top half of the league defense?
These are self-inflicted problems.
I get it, but well, like, so are some of the offensive problems.
If you got it, then it shouldn't be that difficult to understand.
But, Johnny, you've got a bunch of guys we don't even know who they are up front.
I don't mind.
You've got a rookie at corner, a rookie at safety.
You and I were two people that nobody knew who the hell we were.
We love us.
You and you love me.
And I do love you, but this
is coming. And we love our kind.
But the
kind.
You didn't know who they were. Why did you think that the expectation was going to be that they were going to compete at a high level? That's what I don't understand.
This has been my biggest beef with Waddle for as long as I've worked with him. His kind, your kind.
Yeah.
Love watching you guys. I need more than just your kind, though.
Well, when we look at you and we ask for better as well.
I need more than me. I can't go out on the football field and win games.
No, you can't. What you want is,
I said I can't.
Yeah. What you
That's
want is blue chip players.
Thank you.
That's what you want.
Of course you do. But my point is that I don't know why there was an expectation level that the defense was going to be an above average group.
But remember,
this whole team lacks talent.
Right. But remember, on a team, when you have a salary cap, you can only have about 10 blue chip guys.
Wow.
And then when I say blue chip, you only have about 3 blue chip guys.
And
you
got a bunch of blue chew guys.
Let's go to the next chip is a red chip.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can have a handful of red chip guys. But after that,
white chips.
It's made up of nothing but grinders.
No good.
Nothing but grinders. You can only have so many cinder blocks.
All you need to know
Everything else is
that's why most of us said this is a 5 or 6 win team because
they don't.
All
you need to know.
I know you said they had 9, but now you're describing to me a team that has no talent.
Can you give me 2 blue chippers?
The reason it could be 9, I'm going to tell you this right now.
Because the rest of the league stinks.
Because the rest of the league is awful.
Yurko needs
a very mediocre league.
If Yurko would have thought about his own career for a minute, he would have protected himself against 9 wins because he would have thought back to training camp 1999 in Berea, Ohio.
Oh my God.
When he turned and he looked and he said, I'm the third best player on this defense. Well, we're dead.
That one I said to Chris Mwamalanga.
I'm walking into the huddle and I'm your go-to guy.
Yeah,
Mike Thompson, I'm your one.
Yeah. You're your
when
one.
When I go into the huddle and I'm your one. I'll fight you to the death, but I can be your 3 and be competitive as a 3.
Yeah.
But when you put me in the spot of being a 1, that ain't a me problem. That's a you problem.
I knew we had a problem when I looked back at Chris Palmer.
I thought you said Couch had that's true.
A good arm as he was bouncing balls
in. The best is ever is when Yurko told us that story.
17 to 14, yeah. He's bouncing balls in there. I'm looking at Palmer go, what in the hell did you guys do?
He says to
I told you the story about player, we're in trouble.
It's the best story. All right, what's coming up on the show, boys?
More of that nonsense.
Yeah, Waddle watched some of the film.
I did. I watched the first half.
I didn't really watch the defense.
But I did watch the offense.
Not much to watch if you just want to watch Daniel Jones run down the field unmolested.
Spirited stuff. We're back tomorrow in our normal spot.
How did he sprain his ankle?
We will listen to a little bit of Justin Fields as he meets the media later today. You guys, we didn't get into it with you. You were talking with Hoodie and Brian Hanley earlier today about the Bulls. There's a little bit of sound from your favorite Zach Lowe, which I think should put the Bulls fans on notice. He was on with Bill Simmons on his podcast.
I have him at 41 wins, by the way.
Does Lowe not like him?
Listen,
is he worried about the Bears with 41 wins?
Here's the thing. They run through the Eastern Conference, naming 8 teams. Some of them are going to be in the playing game. You know what? The Bulls don't even get a mention.
I'm telling you, we did this yesterday and today.
Well, that's a tease.
You look at the East right now.
Oh, yeah. Detroit's going to give them hell.
Oh, man.
I even said today Detroit might be sneaky. I mean, they're probably still a little ways away.
Yeah, but they're going to make them sweat.
Depends on how, who's the rookie from Memphis? Why am I blanking on his name? You know, Jalen Duren. How quickly, like, Duren kind of comes along. I mean, Kate Cunningham looks...
Even if he's slow to develop, Kate Cunningham
looks legit.
In his second year, and if you haven't seen what he's done physically, he's just a beast.
He's going to be legit.
He was already big coming into the league, but man, he's added...
The problem is, he's just tough. Right, it's not just the teams above the Bulls. It's the teams that were below them have narrowed the gap.
It's going to be tough, I know.
Are you going to keep us up to date on all the Champions League going ons today?
Would you like me to, Yurko?
You know, when I'm in the car home, yeah. Leipzig in front of Celtic 1-0.
I can do that for you. The Yurko Champions League update.
We'll see everybody tomorrow. We're back at noon tomorrow. Waddle and Sylvie are next. Enjoy the day.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
probably.
Are you not a good music guy, right? I'm not either.
I am at certain
things. Is this
Def
Leppard?
But when we go...
You don't know.
When we go,
we're
looking at the wrong people. 80s hair metal band, it's out of my expertise. I think it is.
Def Leppard had the one-armed drummer, remember?
Yes, that I am aware of.
They were good. What's the name of that song?
That one that, well, we don't know because we don't.
You don't know who it was. I know. But sometimes you can come up with a song without knowing.
Yeah.
You're not that much younger than me. Or how old are you?
I'm 41.
Okay, so you're 14 years young.
I missed the 80s hair band. And
well, you know what? That's your bad. You know what? That's your
when
loss.
When I look back at the things in history
loss.
That I missed, that's amongst the top 10. I miss the hair band ballad era.
Can't believe the amount of, like there. I wouldn't even say it was anger. Like, this is where I'm at with this whole thing. I think our conversation we just had with Yurko is kind of, like, to me, that is a touch perplexing. I'm not happy that the Bears' defense is dead last in run D. I'm not happy that the Bears' passing offense is averaging 98 yards net passing and is ranked dead last. Not happy that they're scoring 16 points per game, which I think is second to last in the league. I'm not happy with any of it.
Of course.
But my expectation levels were so low that, like, I'm not, like, I can't get all agitated about it.
I think that's why we heard a little more angst coming from Yurko based on what the Giants
predicted
did.
Nine wins.
Because if you look at it, the way I was assessing this as I was thinking about it.
By the way,
today,
Johnny's got a giant football brain. Like, we all know that. Johnny's as smart as there is when it comes to this stuff. And I do buy his premise, Jeff, that there's a lot of mediocrity in this league.
Sure. And as you just heard with us, Yurko is gone for the day. We cross-talked with Carmen Yurk early today. Waddle and Sylvie on early instead because the White Sox have their season finale coming your way at 2:30. So Waddle and Meller from 12 to 2:30 as Sylvie has the holiday off. So we will be taking you right up to the final game of White Sox baseball. That's why we're in early and we're talking to Yurko during crosstalk previously.
They're going to escort the final game in and others are going to escort the final game out.
Yes, and I think we're all ready for that as White Sox fans. But as I was thinking about this on the drive down, the Bears are 2-2, but the old Bill Parcells adage, you are what your record is.
I'm not buying that.
This is a 2-2 team. This is an 0-4 team masquerading as a 2-2 team because
very well said.
They played the 49ers and we saw the 49ers probably ill-advised went with Trey Lance as their starting quarterback this season and they took advantage of the elements in that game. Not going to take that away from them, but in addition to that, their other win at home against any, if they were playing any other team in the league with a modicum of talent, I don't think they win that game. They're 2-2, but in my mind, what I saw on the field so far, it's an 0-4 football team.
I think it's a great point. And by the way, I'm not overly upset about it, to be honest with you, because my expectation level is such, you know. I think it's a very good point. I think when they beat the San Francisco 49ers and did some really good things coming out of the second half, they took the ball away. 49ers made some mistakes. Justin made a couple of nice, you know, kind of plays. And I think, you know, for an opening game of the season, it gave everyone this thought that, hey, they may be better than maybe we think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many games they're going to win. My prediction was 6 or 7. The number was 6.5. Thought it was a very, you know, it was a number in Vegas that I think we talked a lot about that I'm not even going to play it. Because I think it's such a good number from Vegas's perspective.
Yeah.
Because I can make you a case for 7. I can make you a case for 6. And I hate that I feel this way. But I'm not overly upset with the outcomes of these games. I am. Listen, this is what that. And 4 games in, I'm not even panicking. But what I want to see is I want to see your left tackle improve, obviously.
Yep.
I want to see your
Braxton
quarterback
Jones
improve. Mm-hmm. I want to see Darnell Mooney, who everyone was screaming at me is a one, you know, take a step forward from what we saw last year. I want to see Tevin Jenkins develop. I want to see Brisker, who's had some really nice plays this year, get some experience and learn and get better. One of the positives from this season so far to me has been Eddie Jackson.
Yes.
I think Eddie Jackson, well, I'm not sending him to any all-pro team or any Pro Bowl at this point. Eddie Jackson is back, and I don't like his salary. Eddie Jackson is back to being a guy that you can win with.
Sure.
And in some instances, you winning, you could eventually get to the point when your team gets better, you're winning because of. Like, I'm not expecting him to be 2018 Eddie Jackson, but we gave that guy hell when he played poorly. Mm-hmm. I think we should acknowledge that he has been an improved player. I want to see Kyler Gordon get better. Kyler Gordon's in a tough situation right now. He's not playing well. They kick him inside. He's a slot corner at times as well. A lot of it's being... So at the end of the day, these guys getting experience and some of them improving and showing you that they're going to be part of the future is so much more important to me than actually a win over the Houston Texans that gets them to 7 wins versus 6 wins. And I think that the people that are really pissed off are probably the ones that, you know, in some instances, they've got the over.
And you know what? It's misplaced anger. They're mad at the Bears because of what they've seen, how they got to 2-2. If they were 0-4, but we had seen an offense that looked a little more coherent, yes, and they had lost to these teams in a different fashion,
such a good point.
I might feel a lot better about where they're at as an organization right now. But honestly,
Jeff, this was the essence of the conversation that I think we all had in the afternoon. Would you rather go 4-13, but come away with some legit hardcore answers about, yep, the important players on your team? Or do you want to be, you know, this is the argument we've had with Michael Wilbon. Or do you want to be 10-7 and still have 1,000 questions? I think you're living in that moment right now. Yeah. You're 2-2, and as you described perfectly, they feel like an 0-4 team because I don't think we have learned really anything at this point that is concrete about a lot of our guys. Tevin Jenkins, I know, can run block. And I think he's making progress as a pass protector as well. I think Brisker has done some really good things. He's going to make some mistakes because he's a rookie. There are still 1,000 questions left out there that haven't been answered, and yet you're 2-2, and I'm supposed to be, you know, this is why the record for this season was so unimportant to me.
And we understand Eberflus, this is his first chance as a head coach, so he's going to do everything in his power to win games, as he should, but you have to have a 30,000-foot view of this thing, and right now through 4 games, it doesn't seem like they really do. And the run defense is atrocious, clearly, but also look at the fact that they really haven't been tested in the secondary because
nobody's had to test.
No team has been asked to do that against the Bears.
Oh, it's coming.
Hell's coming to breakfast this Sunday because, yeah, you know what the Vikings do pretty well? As you pointed out with Justin Jefferson moving him all around the field, they're going to test Kyler Gordon and the entire Bears secondary, unlike they've been tested so far in the passing game. Look, the 49ers in the monsoon and Trey Lance were never going to throw the ball all around the field. The Packers on Sunday Night Football didn't have to, but we saw Aaron Rodgers was not on the same page with his receivers coming into the game. That's not the best passing offense
You'll see a better version of their passing offense when you get them the next time this year.
Absolutely will. Davis Mills and the Houston Texans at Soldier Field, not bringing a whole lot in terms of passing offense to the game. And then we saw a Giants team on Sunday that was happy to take the boots that they were given because the offensive receivers that were at Daniel Jones' disposal, who, by the way, himself has his own issues in the passing game, were never going to be a real threat. And still you found yourself behind in that game, chasing, beaten on some silly bootlegs that Yurko pointed out. Like, I'm with you. Like, I think Brian Daboll saw something he could exploit in the defense. I was like, well, if I don't have to ask Daniel Jones to throw the ball, I'm certainly not going to, because he hasn't given me any reason to trust that he can do that.
See, that's the point I was making, Jeff, is like, look, Brian Daboll wasn't out there trying to prove to you how brilliant he is. Keep it simple, stupid, if it's working. And I think that, like, he deserves credit for doing that. You know, at one point it was necessary because he ran out of healthy quarterbacks.
Yes.
But he saw something in that Bear defense that they attacked, and the Bears couldn't make the adjustments. So obviously the Giants weren't going to respond with changing anything because what they were doing was working. And you're right about hell coming to town with regard to testing a secondary. You're going to get the Vikings. I don't know if Thielen is healthy.
He didn't look healthy at the end of the game.
But you've got Justin Jefferson, one of the best young receivers in the league. They use their tight ends well. They get their backs out in the passing game as well. And they've got a couple of receivers also.
KJ Osborne's a pretty good third receiver.
Yes. And even as bad as the Commanders are, guess what they can do?
They can throw the ball. I want to say Dotson's a little bit banged up, but they have 3 wide receivers in McLaurin, Samuel, and Dotson who they can throw the ball to. And Logan Thomas is coming back healthy. Yeah, the next couple weeks.
I mean, you're going to get the Patriots and the Cowboys, 2 teams that are going to focus on running the ball. You're going to get the Dolphins. They're going to throw it. The Lions are going to throw it. Like everyone. So you're going to get an opportunity to see some of their guys tested. And to me, how they respond And whether or not we see progress as the year goes on is so much more important than the actual number of wins. Look, we're in an environment now, everyone wants to be right. We all want to. I want to be right. You want to be right. Everyone wants to be right. And if you've made a play with your cash and you've got the over, you're pissed.
Yes, of course.
But I find it hard to believe that you can look at them and the thing that is most important to you right now for this team that isn't a full rebuild is how many wins you get. And maybe that is just so, you know, flies in the face of everything you were taught as a, you know, as a kid playing sports and then being a fan of sports. But like for me, that's where I'm at. We've been in hell in this city for a long time with regard to this football team. There's blips every now and again.
Sure.
But like I'm finally, listen, we went through this exercise yesterday trying to blame who's most responsible for the offensive ineptitude. And most of us at the end of the day, we listed the previous general manager as the biggest culprit.
Yep.
Like, what did you think was going to happen this year when the new group came in and completely cleared the deck?
And here's, and you know what? And we will take your calls, 312-332-3776. What you just said, though, there's the occasional blips where they pop up and have a good season, right? But what they feel like they're doing right now at 2-2 is headed right down the path to mediocrity that they've been stuck in time and time again without actually developing a winning formula for years to come. This year, I know it's like, it feels like Matt Eberflus is so hell-bent on making, you know, a statement that he's a guy who could put together a good culture for you and they're going to win those hard-fought games and maybe be better than their talent shows. But the reality is that they're not winning a Super Bowl this year. We all know that.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, I'm sorry to break it to you. That's the reality of the situation. And they need to get their arms around that quickly and figure out what they can do better to build this team so that they're not just relying on these occasional blips to satisfy and satiate a fan base that truly wants a winner. That back in the 80s and early 90s, what they had done, where you could count on them to be there in the playoffs, that's what you need to do. Build that out.
Yeah. No, you're right.
He's former Bear Tom Waddle. I'm Jeff Meller in for Sylvie today. This is Waddle and Sylvie as we are on early because of the White Sox game, which is coming your way.
Sweating now. I didn't anticipate on sweating today.
We will hear from Justin Fields, who will be meeting the media. We'll let you hear what he thinks about the upcoming week and how they're going to take on a jet lag team in the Minnesota Vikings who are at home but coming back from London. We'll see if the Bears can take advantage of that schedule luck. Continue to talk to you as well. 312-332-3776. I'm Jeff Meller in for Sylvie on Waddle and Sylvie.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
It's October. The Bears got an early Halloween costume. It's a 2-2 outfit, and they're actually 0-4.
It's a really good point. Like, I don't know what their record's going to be at the end of the year, honestly. I hope, like, I know Abdallah's got a ticket for the over. I hope he wins it. So that's my, but
listen, it's more really fun don't when they're winning.
Of course. But at the end of the day, I think that is so much less important than the visible growth of some of the key players that are supposed to be, you know, foundation pieces for the years to come.
And if you're going to do it, if you're going to slide in there and sneak wins out, go full bore. Like, you had a very winnable game against the Giants where I would have let, you know, listen, I don't want to sound like a Bears hater when I say they're an 0-4 team masquerading as a 2-2 team.
No, I think it's a fair
that's
evaluation.
That's how I truly feel. Yeah. And listen, I was in here, Deanne Miller with her on Sunday morning as we did the Bears pregame coverage. She was drinking the Kool-Aid, and I said, pass it over, I'll take a sip. And I predicted a Bears win against the Giants because I thought that was a game very winnable on the schedule. And I was talking myself into going into Minnesota and beating a London jet-lagged team and selling the idea that, you know what? And listen, I got a little out ahead of my skis there. It was not a good situation.
I still think that Yurko's point is very valid, that the rest of the league is very mediocre. But that mediocre Giants team ran it for 262 yards on our mediocre team.
That's, you know what? That's a 1-3 team masquerading as a 3-1 team now.
That's right. And their defense held our team to 4 field goals. So, like, on a given Sunday, you can get beaten by a Giants team like that. Maybe you win a game, that we're not thinking that you're going to win. But at the end of the day, I still find it hard to believe that anyone looks at this team and thinks that they're a sneak into the postseason team.
We did give out a couple of bouquets to Eddie Jackson. Steve's in Barrington, wants to talk about that. Steve, what's going on? You're on Waddle and Sylvie. Meller in for Sylvie today.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to, Eddie Jackson, he's been getting a lot of guff. I feel like the last couple of months, within the last year, and he's been playing pretty well. So I think as Bears fans, we're pretty quick to jump on our players for not being, positive and doing their job. And he's turning around. So I think one of you guys said earlier, we got to give kudos when we need to.
Steve. There's no question. We've all been, and I think for good reason, we were all critical of Eddie the last couple of years. Didn't show much of an interest in tackling, certainly didn't do it very well. I don't believe he had had an interception since, the 2018 season?
Correct. Like, he got paid,
right.
And then we saw the turnovers go away.
Right.
And you know what? As a safety, I think people will overlook your inability to be a big-time tackler. But if you're going to shy away from contact and then the takeaways go away as well, then you know what? You're going to be a mark for criticism very quickly.
There were two instances in that game on Sunday, too, where I think that it's not an exaggeration to tell you that he stopped a Saquon Barkley touchdown with a tackle.
Yes.
Twice he did it.
Mm-hmm. One-on-one, too.
Yes, one-on-one.
Which is
so is that the Eddie Jackson that we saw the last couple of years? No, and we were critical of him when he wouldn't make those plays. So my point is that when you see Eddie make those tackles, not just the takeaways, but those tackles. And I'm sure that you could look at the overall film and he's going to be culpable for a defense that gives up 262 yards. But there have been moments where Eddie has made some very good plays, and I think it's worth mentioning.
He's living up to his paycheck, which is...
Listen, I want Eddie Jackson to be part of the future as well.
Of course, yes. He's a difference maker.
When he's playing like
his best. And you know what? Maybe, too, it's helped that he's been able to get a couple of early interceptions. He's got three so far. Maybe it also makes him a little bit more willing to engage when he's getting those takeaways as well. I don't know. But it's been apparent so far early this season. Mike is in Boise. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, earlier you guys said who's most responsible. And I think the person most responsible is Ryan Pace, because when you make such an egregious error with Trubisky and trading up to get him, you set your team back anywhere from like 5 to 8 years, and we're probably in year 6 of that. You just make a big such a, and you trade it up to get him. So now you have to start trying to put Band-Aids in place. You have to go trade up more picks to get Khalil Mack. You have to trade up this, trade up here, trade up there. All these things, we probably won't be where we need to be until we get from under that, under the mistake. Up from under the mistake of getting Trubisky. That's just kind of my opinion.
Well, and Mike, I think it was beyond Trubisky. It was just a lot of the moves that were cumulative. And I think, as I said earlier, I think most of us, I know why Ryan Pace was number one for me.
Yes.
He was number one for you. Sylvie, was he also number one for you, too?
Yeah, it was across the board.
So was it across the board? Look, it's easy to kick the guy who's out of town squaring his ass. I get all of that. But when it's valid, it's valid.
Sure.
And like, the new regime has come in and torn this thing down to the studs.
Yep.
And what they've done is they've tried to rid themselves of what was here before and try to build this thing up from the floor.
And if nothing else, that exercise we did yesterday, going around the room and giving our top five reasons for why the Bears offense was where it's
epically,
at right now,
epically
it was our
bad way
of saying, yeah, listen, we understand we're putting a lot on Fields. We're putting a lot on Luke Getsy and the offensive skill players and the offensive line. But yes, everybody in the room knows that Ryan Pace is still the man mainly responsible for where they're at. We were recognizing that. I think that's what we were. And Tyler and I both had Matt Nagy on our list as well. We gave him, we threw some shade at him as well. So we understand the previous regime is largely still responsible for where they're at offensively.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I had Ryan Poles as number two because of their offense, but it wasn't because I think everything that he's done is wrong.
Yes.
It's because
this year,
his approach, the result of that, the direct result was, is that this was going to be a struggle of a season offensively. And look, there are a lot of people that think they should have done more. I get it. I would love to have a more sound offensive line and a difference-making wide receiver. But what they did is they zoomed out. They didn't zoom in on the quarterback. And whether or not their approach and their plan works is to be determined. But this is the way they thought it was best to build this franchise. And again, if it doesn't go the way that they had hoped or anticipated, they're going to be shown the door three or four or five years down the road as well.
That is former Bear Tom Waddle. I'm Jeff Meller in for Sylvie today, who's off for the holiday. This is Waddle and Sylvie on early because White Sox baseball, the final game of the season, coming your way at 2:30. And as we go to break, this is for Yurko. He asked for a Champions League update on his drive home. Yurko, I gotcha. Red Bull Leipzig up on Celtic 1-0 right now. Christian Nkunku with the goal for the Red Bull Leipzig team. And FC Salzburg right now still tied at 0-0, Dynamo Zagreb. So,
all right, there you go.
We got a couple early Champions League games that Yurko wanted an update on.
I think Yurko will be excited that we're doing the show for him right now.
Hey, man, you can't do it for yourself. Who can you do it for?
I'm with you, totally.
He's Waddle, I'm Meller. This is Waddle and Sylvie.